Nothing else matters. It really doesn't. The presence of God is everything. Without his presence, we're just religious people, lost. God inhabits the praises of his people. God inhabits those that are his. God protects. God heals, delivers, restores. He loves. He can't be anything else. That's what his nature is. That's what his character is. He can't go against his own grain. He cannot sin. He's not a man that he should lie. He's to be worshipped, and he's to be worshipped alone. There is to be no other gods before us. That's all that matters. We were created to glorify God, and we do so in so many different arenas, and that's why we do all what we do. But everything should glorify God. Our countenance, our personhood, our jobs, our everything. Holy Spirit, live the heavenly life through these mortal bodies. God, I pray that this morning you just speak. Just speak. Use this frail vessel to do whatever you want to do, God. Just let me help to bring forth your heart and your passion this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do we really understand what true worship is when Jesus quotes in John chapter 4, those who worship the Father will worship him in spirit and we will worship him in truth. Spirit and truth, spirit and truth. What do you mean? Sometimes it's a little difficult to ascertain exactly how that is manifest, how that is brought about. Well, this morning I'm praying that through the analogy, or should I say the metaphor that God gives us, Jesus gave us so many in the New Testament, scattering seed and associating it with faith and all these things. Well, in the Old Testament, God did it just in a different way, and he did it through the anointing oil. We talked about Holy Spirit when we talked about understanding a deeper understanding of the Holy Spirit. And so, hopefully that series that you listen to, and I pray got into your heart about Holy Spirit, will help you to understand the anointing oil, which represents that aspect of the Holy Spirit that oozes out, that oil that spreads, that sets us apart, that's part of who we are, okay? So as we go through this today, keep the Holy Spirit in mind at all times. And matter of fact, keep him in mind throughout the rest of your life because you want him to rule and reign and move through you and no offense, we don't need you. We need the Holy Spirit in you. All right? So understand that the Bible gives us characteristics of true spiritual worship. If God says to worship in spirit and truth, then we've got to look and search the scriptures to say, okay, Lord, well, what is the truth and what is the spirit? And how does that manifest itself and how can it manifest if we let it through us? Okay? So true spiritual worship, symbolically, we're going to look at this morning through the ingredients of the holy anointing oil. Hello, God had them specifically and exclusively, and he told them not to make it and not to reproduce it in any other way. It was exclusively for him in this manner in which you shall make it, Moses. You're not to reproduce it any other way. This is my oil. I am exclusively setting this part unto me, unto you, for the purpose of the communion and the union that we have together. It will be applied in a manner of ways to consecrate people, to set them apart for this or to set them apart for that. It'll be used to rub on for healing. My nature, my character, healing, deliverance, being set apart for ministry, all of that has to do with the anointing. And if it doesn't, and it lacks the anointing, then you're just in a religious service or in a religious ministry or in a religious place. God has to permeate in and through you in order for people to even get saved, to be able to stand up and preach a message or to do anything that is involving God's ministry. The holy anointing oil was a perfume, a sweet aroma unto God, not in and of itself, as if God was like smelling all the different flowers and picking out the best one that he could. No, It was symbolic of a sweet incense, of the ingredients that made it up that God wanted from us, his anointing oil coming in and through us, us literally sweating that, exuding the nature and character of God everywhere we go so that our shadow could heal people like Peter and stuff. It wasn't exclusive to the disciples. He said it was available to all Christians that would come and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we're going to look at the characteristics of worship, true spiritual worship, through the ingredients of this anointing oil that God commanded Moses to make. Each ingredient can teach us about the spiritual qualities that are sweet unto the Lord. That are sweet unto the Lord. Remember, the anointing represents Holy Spirit. You've been taught that already. It's us being set apart unto God alone. Not for your job and not for anything else, but God and God alone. We are God's people. We have nothing to do with darkness. We are the light. We are God's best. We are his representatives. We are his army. We are his hands and feet. We are those who are left here until we get to heaven to join the rest of the crowd that are assembled together cheering us on. But we are exclusively set apart, anointed, holy unto God if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have his protection. We have his covering. It is he who is our Lord and Savior. And he is Lord, means he's your boss over everything. And if you hold anything back, or if you don't submit to something that he wants you to do, all you are doing is interfering with that holy anointing that can change the world around you. Because you've been left here to change the world around you. Not just your own world, not just to get your ticket to heaven, but to be a positive impact on the kingdom of God. Just as Jesus came to do the will of his Father, so you are now set to do the will of your Father. You have the same Father in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not ours. Never was to be that way. Not the way we want to do church, the way Jesus wanted to do church. Not the way we desire to do worship. It's what God desires to have us worship from. And he gives us symbolically throughout the Bible various means. And today we're going to look at that anointing oil. It represents holiness, anointing, exclusively God's. He alone being worthy of our worship. Represented, again, the oil sets us apart from the world. It sets us apart from this world. We are not of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it when we accept Jesus. We've been branded with the Holy Spirit, the anointing, sealed unto him. Not just you, but your family and your home, everything that you're a part of. That's why we anoint your home with oil. We're saying we're exclusively setting apart this home for God. We have God's anointing, we have God's protection, and devil, you can't come in. There is no darkness. When light dispels darkness, we are lights. Light, what is it? Let this little light shine. What's the song? Somebody sing it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Okay, let's stop. We'll get one. Light dispels darkness. Darkness has to flee. It can't remain when a light's turned on, no darkness. But this is who we are, and this is the anointing, and this is the oil where we're set apart, your family, your home, and that's why we go around anointing people, all the rooms of your home, your kitchen, your bedroom, the land, everything. This is God's. No darkness allowed. Devil can't touch it. So when darkness begins to try to enter into your home, it'll be easily recognized because you turn on the light. And if you don't turn on the light and you let the darkness in, that's your fault, not God's. He's given you everything you need to turn on that switch. Folks, that's why, again, we anoint our families. If you haven't anointed your family, well, will we come anoint our home? Well, what about your family? Anoint those things that you want set apart for God. Your children. That's why we dedicate the children. Jesus dedicated them. You can't baptize them. They have to make that decision on their own to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and turn their life around. So, you know, baptizing babies doesn't guarantee them heaven. Right? I mean, come on. I don't know who started all that stuff. You get baptized because it's symbolic, like the anointing oil, of going under and dying to self and getting up in a new creature in Christ. Babies can't do that. But God's got those guys covered. David told us that. He can't come to me, but I can go to him. When his baby died, that means, well, he's got to be in heaven. Folks, the anointing is what we set apart exclusively for God. That's what holiness is, the holy anointing oil. It lets the enemy know we're God's possession under his protection. I'm sealed by the blood of the Lamb. Devil, you have no part in my life. You can't. When I stumble and I fall, I got the cross of Jesus Christ to come right to and get forgiven and move on. I'm not perfect yet, but I will be one day. In the meantime, that sanctification process that the Holy Spirit takes you through, he's just chucking out oil on you, man. He's just throwing out oil on you. And that's what we do in here on you sometimes. We're just rubbing you with that oil, praying that it's going to rub right on through that head down into your heart so it comes out your hands and feet. And you ooze the oil. You ooze Holy Spirit. You ooze the anointing. You ooze ministry. You just ooze the presence of God. So when we worship, his quality should flow like oil in and through us. We've talked about that. Let's look at the ingredients he told Moses to mix that represent our exclusivity. Exclusivity unto God and, mind you, our exclusivity of worship to him only. We are to worship no other gods. Commandment. First one, right? We worship God, not God only. And how do we worship him? In spirit and in truth. By virtue of the fact that when we worship him, the Holy Spirit's in us. He knows how to worship God exclusively the best. We just have to yield to that. And truth, my goodness, if Jesus hasn't taught us yet what words to use and how to sing and pray, then, we need to start all over again. But we've got a tremendous amount of truth to give back unto God. He wants to hear of himself. He wants to hear how good and great and wonderful he is. He wants to know and have us just reiterate back to him his nature and his character in truth. And Jesus supplies that for us because he gave us the words and he gave the Holy Spirit to give us the understanding of what he said. The truth of the Word of God, the Spirit of God that lives in you under the unction and the anointing, we can, if we use that to worship in our life, because it's not about a service or coming in and doing songs. That's one day and one part. It's our lifestyle of being under the anointing, under God's protection, being exclusively his and oozing out what is his. When we start oozing out what's ours, it doesn't smell very good. That kind of anointing oil you don't want to rub on you. That's the stuff we wash off, right? Paul says, cleanse it, get rid of it. Put on that holy anointing oil. Put on that perfume. Put on the nature and character of God that should be oozing out to everyone around you in your sphere of influence that God has you in. Exclusively unto God. Exclusively worshiping him only. Exodus chapter 30, 34 to 38. Let's dive into this. Then the Lord said to Moses, take for yourself spices, stacte and ancha and galbanum, spices with pure frankincense. There shall be an equal part of each. With it you shall make incense, a perfume, the work of a perfumer, salted, what? Pure and holy, meaning set apart. This is going to be my holy anointing oil that I'm giving to you. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. I'm giving you my nature. I'm giving you my character. I'm giving you my sweet incense. I'm giving you my fragrance. When you walk around, you should be a walking Jesus because we're the fragrance of God. You shall beat some of it because some of us need to be beaten into submission. Some of us need to be beaten into obedience. Some of us need to be beaten with the Word of God and with worship because that's what it's going to take to get us to go come to our senses. Then we wake up and go, oh, yeah, I'm God's. I can't be living like this. I can't be doing this anymore. beat some of it very fine and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting, the Word of God, where I will meet with you. He meets with us when we're under that anointing. He meets with us when we start smelling good. He meets with us when we're praying. He doesn't meet with us when we're doing sin and in darkness. He can't commingle. He's not going to sit at the table with demons. But he'll meet with you when you put it on, put it on, put it on. He'll meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. It means this is the most important thing you can do, to be set apart for God and follow what he wants in your life and forget about all the things that you want to do with your life. Just make sure you're submitting to the things that God wants to do. And oftentimes, because he loves you so much, he'll give you and allow you to do some of the things you want to do just because he can. But you were created for him. And there is a void in every single person in this world, a void that only God can fill. And when they don't fill it and they fill it with all the other stuff, then they're going to hell because they don't have God. That void can only be filled by God. And if God doesn't come in, then the devil has him, right? If you're not filled with God, then you're the property of the devil and you're going to hell. If you fill yourself with God, you're the property of God and you're going to heaven. Pretty simple. Evangelism 101. This incense which you shall make, you shall not make in the same proportions for yourselves. It isn't for you. You can put it on and go out and think you can smell good, because there's nothing that you can put on that can make yourself go out and feel good. Only God can give you the joy and the love and all of the fruits of the Spirit that really make you a positive impact on this world. Because if you try to do it in your own strength, it becomes pride and pompous and it begins to look like darkness. Make it in the same proportion. It says you shall not make it in the same proportions for yourself. It shall be what? Holy, exclusively to you for the Lord. It's to be used for the Lord, not for your own purposes, not for your own kingdom, not for your own ministry, not so that you can look good quoting scripture, not so you can look good serving people on the food line and going on the mission field, as good as those things may be. This is for you so that you can smell and be a pleasing aroma unto God, submitting yourself under his lordship so that you are taking every step in the footsteps of God. Carried, if you will. If I don't, you know, don't lead. Follow me, he said. You get out in front of Jesus and you get out in front of, you know, the Father and the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do, and you're on your own. Then you got to look behind you to go, am I going the right way? Where'd you go? See, God doesn't leave us. We leave him. How can you possibly lose him if you're following him everywhere that he goes? Whoever shall make any like it to use as a perfume, in other words, for yourself, shall be cut off from his people. Wow, pretty strong, right? So God commanded Moses to make this fragrant perfume to be used as part of the Israelites' worship expression. There were four ingredients. We're going to go through them. The first one is stakti that we read. In Hebrew, it's the word nataf, and it means oozing out in drops from a gum resin. Oozing out in drops from a gum resin. It is characteristics of the heavens dropping water spontaneously on a parched desert as a blessing. It's symbolic of that rain from heaven, and we sing about it all the time, dropping water, dropping the word of God, dropping God's blessings on a parched desert, on you who have nothing, and without God and apart from God, you are absolutely nothing. That's the scripture. It says that. We need God oozing himself down in and through us, that we become a river, rivers of living water flowing through us, a channel going through us from the dew of heaven coming down, the fragrance of heaven coming in and through us, and we become rivers of living water and channels. That's how God intended it. And this particular stakti represents that drops from heaven. Again, especially on a parched desert, as a blessing. Hey, I could never preach before, but look, now I can preach. Hey, I could never go on the mission field before. Now I've got the spunk to do it. You know, I'm maturing in Christ. You know, I couldn't do this before, but now I can. I couldn't do this before, but I can. Because that's the anointing. That's what the Holy Spirit enables you to do. You know, Moses, and I stutter. I don't think he was stuttering when he was telling them what to do. After a while, he said, oh, let Aaron speak for me. But when I start reading my Bible, Moses did a whole lot of speaking after that. I think he caught on. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth. It wasn't his testimony. He stuttered. That's why he didn't preach. He let his wife preach. He wouldn't preach because he stuttered. Holy Spirit got a hold of him. No more stuttering. He was a man under the unction and the anointing of God, where people would be dead and he would raise them back to life, just like the Bible says we could do. When God tells you to do it, you can't just go walking around thinking you're going to raise the dead on your own, because then that would be putting on your own perfume. You got to let those drops from heaven coming through you. I hear from heaven, I only do what the Father tells me, and then you do it. Then you can't fail. Just saying. Stacte, S-T-A-C-T-E. It's the first ingredient in the holy anointing oil. Again, this fragrant ingredient basically symbolizes spontaneity from a grateful heart. Spontaneity from a grateful heart. The fact that God has chosen you and has given you, really spontaneously, the unction of the Holy Spirit to be so sensitive that at any moment and at any time, just like this morning when he said, preach first, then worship. Let the word get in the people. Let the worship experience come in through my word in truth, and then allow Holy Spirit to worship through them. So I don't know how long worship will last for you at the end of the service. I'm not going to be in control of that. Prayerfully, the Holy Spirit will be. Our hearts will begin to ooze with gratitude, according to this, during spontaneous worship. Well, we can organize worship, but when we open up like we do in this church to you waiting on God, just remember, worship is not just songs. When you stand up and you give a word prophetically, when you interpret a dream, when you give a tongue and an interpretation of a tongue, when you are spontaneously awaiting what Holy Spirit wants to do, you encourage one another. You read from God's word, a specific word that ministers to just maybe one person's soul. That's all worship. It's spontaneous. That means you're listening to Holy Spirit and spontaneously worship God. This is what Stacte does. We're sensitive to what God wants to do instead of having an order of service where you're not even allowed to speak and we just sing songs and parrot them back and read a scripture and parrot it back and benediction and boom, you're out. Never was it, I don't think, supposed to be organized that way. Through years, we've developed this religious attitude just in a different way than the Pharisees and Sadducees. But unless the Holy Spirit is ruling the service, God, Jesus, God the Father, then let's play golf. Seriously, if God's not here, why should we be? Not that I don't like you guys and don't want to meet with you guys, but I want to meet with you guys as a common and in unity with what we have in God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. That's what brings us in our diversity together in unity, because we're all so different. I don't want to hang around with him. He likes to skydive. I ain't jumping out of that plane. But he also loves to read the Word of God. Now we can get together for coffee and discuss the Word of God. Now we have something in common. Oozing with gratitude during spontaneous worship, which is a sweet, let me tell you something. It's kind of like writing that card I told you guys about when you forget your wife's anniversary and you have to do your own handmade card and do it by yourself, and it means so much more because it's intentional. Well, it was unintentional at first, but then intentional when you got the drift. It means more to your wife when she gets a homemade card than she gets a store-bought card, right? It means more to your wife when you give her the message rather than texting it to her. Ooh, that'll preach. I know it means more to you when you get a written letter from somebody, right? And when you get texted to or you hear it secondhand. There's just something about getting in the mail a written letter and that you could read over and over again that is just personal. Well, that's what this is. This is the part of the ingredient of the anointing oil that's a sweet aroma to God. It's spontaneous. It's you calling somebody up and saying, hey, you know, I ain't doing anything. Let's go for a cup of coffee. You know what? You don't even have to be something where you're including them doing that. You just get in your car and you just baked a cake or you did something and you just bring it over to somebody's house and say, look, I'm not staying, I'm not going to bother you. God just told me to come bring you this. Teresa did that once to a woman down there when we used to live in Wake Forest over on the east coast of North Carolina and said, God told me to bring you this and stuff like that. And then they were lost as geese. And now they're on fire. Well, she's on fire for God. Let's go to the second ingredient. The second ingredient is ancha. O-N-Y-C-H-A. O-N-Y-C-H-A. It's called ancha. In Hebrew, I can't even begin that one. Shekeleth. Shekeleth. That's S-H-E-C-H-E-L-E-T-H. And it means the shell or the husks of mollusks. Mollusks. Okay? Now, you got to understand something about mollusks. They live in the depths of the sea. And our worship should come from the depths of our heart and be real. God doesn't want any worship that's just because, well, it's Sunday, and they're putting the words up on the screen, so I guess I should be singing, or at least, you know, act like I'm singing. Not checking my phone, or what somebody's doing next to me, or that person dancing in the back, or the person laying on their face in the front, or the, you know. Where's your depth of worship? Where does it go in you? Why are you worried so much about the person that wants to dance like David danced before the Lord? Why are you worried about that person that's back there flying a flag? And I've never seen this before. Oh my God, I'm so scared. They're flying a flag that says, unto God I give my worship. Give me a break. Grow up. Worship can be anything that is unto the Lord and is exclusive unto Him. And now you may disagree with me or whatever and stuff like that, but golfing can be worship. Now he's really reaching. Whatever you do, you can do as unto the Lord. I could say, Lord, I pray right now this is going to be a hole-in-one. Boom. No, it's not how it works that way. But as you're fellowshipping with other believers who enjoy the same hobbies that you do, you're talking about the Lord. You're not drinking beer on the back of the cart with a 24-pack, okay? That's not worship. But you could be golfing and talking about the Lord. You can be golfing and praying the whole time you go from hole to hole. Not that you get a good shot, but that, you know, you're just enjoying life. You're out and you're enjoying the fresh air. And maybe you're not enjoying your golf game. If you're like me, you're going, oh my God, I should never even have started this game. But the point is, in whatever activity you're doing, wherever you are, in a grocery store, on a golf cart, wherever you are, God's right there with you because He's not going to separate Himself from you. And you can have a holy anointed time talking and worshiping. You can be singing songs as you're playing and worshiping God. The point is that worship comes from within your heart. It has to be deep. It has to be real. It has to smell like God, not you. And have this stakti and this ancha fragrance, this ingredient, part of you. It'll take your worship to a whole nother level. Not just in singing, but in being able to be a part or of a body ministry in here. I've got something to bring. I'm bringing my worship. Not to bring it to go watch somebody else and a praise team do what they're doing. I'm bringing my worship so I can sing and I can prophesy and I can do this if God is calling me to do it. Therefore, since these mollusks are in the bottom depths of the sea, and our worship should come from the depth of our heart, this fragrant ingredient represents honesty and truth in worship. Honesty and truth in worship is what this represents. Deep. The depths of the truth of God. The third ingredient, galbanum, G-A-L-B-A-N-U-M. Galbanum is what God told Moses to put in. And in Hebrew, it's chelbanah, C-H-E-L-B-E-N-A-H, chelbanah or chelbanah, which is a resin gum with a sweet odor but a bitter taste. It's a resin gum. It's got a sweet odor, but it has a very bitter taste. Some used galbanum for wound healing. For wound healing. It symbolizes brokenness or humility in worship. Brokenness or humility in worship. Reverence, submission, dependence. These are words that are hardly used anymore, not just in church, but at home. Reverence, submission, dependence, humility, brokenness. Where have you heard that repeated over and over again in most places? You don't. That's galbanum. Are we broken? Do we realize that we're totally dependent on God? Do we understand that we bring our worship and worship to Him only? Purity in worship. What an anointing oil you are. What an anointing oil you become. What a fragrance. What an ooze you are or can be when we submit ourselves to the character and the quality and the nature of our God who lives in us, and less of us and more of Him. The fourth ingredient is frankincense. You all probably remember that from the song and what were those guys? Kings that came to worship, mind you, Jesus. How did they worship? Part of it was giving them frankincense, wasn't it? One of the ingredients of the worship oil, or the anointing oil, or the Holy Spirit oil. Frankincense. In Hebrew, it's called Lebanah, L-E-B-O-N-A-H, not Lebanon, but Lebanah, L-E-B-O-N-A-H, meaning whiteness. How about that? Whiteness from the milky color of the juice of Boswellia. Some of you go to the health food store, and what do? You buy Boswellia because the health food person tells you to. I forget what Boswellia is used for, whether it's in inflammation or healing or whatever and stuff like that. I don't know. I forget that. But anyway, it's this milky color, the juice of Boswellia. It is held in a high degree of sanctity and was a key element of pure incense in the Old Testament sacrificial system. This frankincense probably had one of the strongest components to, again, be a part of this pure incense that God was making up between these four ingredients and what they call the Old Testament sacrificial system, which we're not going to go into. It was intricate. I don't know how these guys, the priests, even memorized it to do it each time. Thank you for the cross. Once and for all. Whew. To have to jump through all those hoops that they jump through. Whew. So frankincense, obviously the white, milky, we can all get that one, right? Purity in worship. It represents purity in worship. What does that mean? No mixing your worship with idols. Pure worship. Purity. No idols. Your golf game can't be your idol. Your exercise can't be your idol. Cooking can't be your idol. Television can't be your idol. Work can't be your idol. Your wife can't be your idol. Your child can't be your idol. Your intelligence can't be your idol. That's far-reaching right there anyway. No mixing worship with idols. Purity in worship. We come and we exclusively do it for God. Well, you know what? I'm more worried about what the person's doing next to me or behind me or in front of me. And should that really be done in church? Or is that reverent? Or is that not reverent? Or is that this and that? You're in the wrong field. You're thinking about the wrong things. Purity in worship is when your focus is exclusively on God, not the person to your left or right or front of you or behind you. Now, that can be a distraction to you. If that person who's next to you or behind you or in front of you is not sensitive to the fact that they're watching you in your form of worship, being very sensitive to the Lord, maybe on your knees or whatever and stuff like that, and they're just kind of coming in front of you doing, come on, get up and dance. Come on, we need to put this together the way God has it together. We all have different ways in which we worship. Not everybody danced down the middle of the street in their underwear like David. I don't want you coming in here through the double doors dancing in your underwear like David doing all that kind of stuff. God, please don't do that because I'm the only one facing that way. The rest of you would be spared. Seriously. Don't knock different ways that we worship God because it's just not your style or your personality. Let people worship that they want, but be sensitive to others. If you're more charismatic with your worship, bring it towards the back so that the people that are a little bit more reverent, or I shouldn't say that because it's all reverence to God, but you know, maybe quieter up in the front. Because the idea is not to bring attention to you, it's to bring attention to God. But the whole purpose of both is to bring attention to God and not be worried about the people to your left and right. You just, you know, make your pastor aware. I get hit with everything anyway, so bring this to me too. I'm being distracted because people are doing this or that. Then when I come up to the distracted people, don't get offended. Just say, you know what? It can be a distraction. You flying a flag right in front of Susie right now as she's writing down her notes. Don't get offended at me. Just take it back there and be okay. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to purposely offend anybody. So let's just take the forms of worship, appreciate how each one worships, and just let's put it in proper order. When we come together corporately, we have to worry about order. I shouldn't say worry about it. God wants godly order. So let's take it, not get rid of it and throw it out, but put it in order so we can all worship together. The diversity of worship, all in unity, if you will. And God loves all the different types of songs, from hymns to psalms to spiritual songs to contemporary to flying flags to getting on your face prostrate to being quiet in prayer to dancing to all of that. He loves it all. And when you get together corporately, we just have to put it in a little bit of order so that the person who's doing their thing isn't distracted and take it out. If I'm praying and I'm praying certain something like that and I've got somebody else that's praying in my ear and we're all praying at the same time, it's difficult for me to get into prayer because I'm hearing everybody else and it's a distraction. So I wouldn't want to do that. But yet there may be a time when God, it's an emergency and we need prayer from the brethren. And I say, everybody start praying. And we're all praying and it just sounds like a concert going on and you got to get really focused because you can hear the person next to you. All I'm saying is that God can do anything. He can hear your prayers through anything, and you can too, if God calls us to that. If there's a time where it's like, we got to pray, and we got to pray now. Instead of one at a time, okay, body of Christ, pray. And why do I say that? Well, if it was just a God, then I'd say pray silently. Everybody pray, but let's all pray silently, because God can hear, and he can read our hearts, and he knows and can read our minds. Devil can't do that. Sometimes when we're in warfare prayer, we need to be out loud in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against you, devil, and all your evil activities in Jesus' name. You get out of these double doors, you head out into the parking lot and out of the parking lot and out to dry places in Jesus' name. This is holy unto God. We are a holy anointing oil. You're not welcome here. Darkness is not welcome here. We are the light. So you get your tail and you move out of here in Jesus' name. And I'm not just the one saying it. We're all saying it at the same time because he won't hear you if you do it silently. But if we're praying to God, then we can all be silent because God can hear us all at the same time. Does that make sense? We just got to make sense of the scripture and put it into just make it real. This is practical stuff. And it's exhibited in the holy anointing oil, purity in worship. So, now, we don't possess purity, right? Because we're born in sin. Because we're born in sin. We know who makes us pure. There's only one, Jesus. And you can say that name over and over again, Jesus. It's because of the blood of Christ that purifies us. We pray, purify us as hyssop, and we shall be clean. The Old Testament was saying that. Purify us as hyssop, and we shall be clean. Listen. We don't possess purity because we're born into sin, but our hearts can change and we can become a pure of heart. Listen, though we don't possess it because we're born into it, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we can become pure in heart. Listen to me now. As Holy Spirit purifies us. That's the sanctification, purification process. God's given us the cleaning agent. We can purify our hearts. Where our hearts were bent on doing our own thing or doing demonic things, we can become pure of heart by exclusively giving our heart to God. Wow. And the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to do that. Folks, we are not going home in sin. I should have got a hallelujah out of that one. We're not going home in sin. It's not welcome. So when we see Him, we'll be perfect just as He is perfect, means that God, when He brings us up there, the rest of what we couldn't do down here will get done as we enter into God's presence, because He's not going to be in the presence of sin. Amen? We are spiritual beings, folks, above everything else, who belong to God, sealed with the Holy Spirit and full of His truth. Hence, we worship in spirit, full of the Holy Spirit and truth, full of God's Word, Jesus. And when we use His Word and when we use the spontaneity of the Spirit to move upon the people, we're worshiping in spirit, spontaneously allowing these things like Stacte and Ancha and Galbanum and the things we just talked about to allow themselves to ooze out of us in a worship service. So you might get up and give a word. You might get up and give a scripture. You might get up and sing a song. You might not do anything. You might just be there to pray for everybody else. You might interpret a dream. You might give a dream. You might do this. You might do that. The spontaneity of God in worship, that's worshiping in spirit. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to worship in and through you spontaneously. And then the truth is that we can always worship God by quoting back Scripture to Him, singing songs like we do and such like that, that are about Him, and I appreciate that about Brett. We sing songs about God, not about us. So that's worshiping in truth by bringing the truth of the Logos, the written Word of God, right back at Him. God loves it. He wrote it. He loves to hear what He's written. If you write a book, you're going to reread your book. You're going to make sure that, you know, what you wrote was good. God is good. And He already knows what He wrote is good. But He loves to hear us say it. God, You're good. And Your Word is forever settled in heaven. And You're not a man that you should lie. This is this scripture, I'm receiving it for me. Because You wrote it to me. So if you don't know that, don't think that it's for everybody else. It's for you. This purity of worship opens our eyes and our hearts to God, folks. When we begin operating in the gifts of the Spirit and we begin to operate in spirit and truth, let the spontaneity of the Holy Spirit work amongst the congregation. Let us have the Word go forth and have preaching and teaching and fellowship and going in there on a work day and eating pizza together. No, that was the culmination of the work day. But doing the work of the Lord, you know, and bringing His place up like they did with the sanctuary back when they built the tabernacle, making sure they did it just right and making it look wonderful. And the guys yesterday, great job. You can make this place look like it's God's house and not just some shack that people ride by and go, they don't take care of that place. So they're probably not taking care of their spiritual life either. That's just the way people think. That's why it's so important to keep up the house of God. And it's not my house, it's your house. You're paying for it. I'm helping, but you're paying for it. I tithe too. Matthew 5:8, the purity of worship opens our eyes and our hearts to God. How do I know this? Blessed are the pure in heart. And so when we get there, guess what? You're going to see God. Oh, you mean I'm going to get a vision and I'm going to see exactly what He looks like and stuff like that? No, I see God in this woman over here. I see God in this man right here. I see God in you. I see the God in you. Sometimes I don't see the God in you. No, I'm just kidding. I see the devil in you, woman. No, she knows I'm just kidding. But we as husbands and wives understand that sometimes we don't see the God in our spouse at times. And there's other things that are coming out that are not pure of worship. And God forgives us. And we generally forgive one another because we know when we're saying something or we get angry or we get out of sync with the Holy Spirit. That's life. That's this world that we live in. You can't help but a little bit rubs off sometimes, and you've had a hard week, and things come out that shouldn't be coming out of your mouth. And you do things that you probably shouldn't do at times. Hence why Jesus came, so that we could be forgiven of our sins and cleansed from all unrighteousness. I want a pure heart. I don't know about you, but I want a pure heart. I want the flow of a church service to flow in such a way as that each one of us, if we're flowing in and under that unction, the anointing, with all four ingredients moving in and through us, that the God begins to move, and then we won't be able to anticipate what the Holy Spirit's going to do. But it'll always be good. It'll always be good. Now, this anointing oil was applied to the ear, if you read the Old Testament, the thumb and the toe of the priests. And that represents your talk, your walk, and your work. Your ear, your talk, your walk is the thumb, and your work, your toe. It's just symbolic. Hence the anointing. Holy Spirit does the work. One more time. The anointing oil was applied to the ear, the thumb, and the toe. And it will change the way you talk, the way you walk, and the way you work. Spontaneity, honesty, humility, and purity represent God's fragrance. All those ingredients represent the fragrance of God, His nature, His character. In our lives, listen now, these characteristics in our lives, and it goes up to God as a sweet aroma of pure spiritual worship. So what am I saying? When we are spontaneous and allow the Spirit to work, when we are honest and humble and pure in our worship and stuff like that, this in and of itself is, we're trying to remember, understand a deeper level of worship. What does worship mean? When these characteristics of spontaneity, honesty, humility, and purity are evident in your life on the golf course or here or wherever you go, you're worshiping. It's the ingredients of what God wants, that sweet-smelling aroma of, that's my boy over there witnessing to that guy over on the golf course. Or that's my girl over there, she's inside church right there, and she's worshiping me in this wonderful dance that I've never seen before, but it's unique to her, and she's giving it to me and no one else. It doesn't matter if you're worshiping in spirit and truth and your heart is humble and you're pure and you're doing these spontaneous things and stuff. God loves that. I think when He comes into an orchestrated service where we're just sitting there and we're just and we're out on time and do all this and stuff like that, I don't think it means as much. It doesn't matter the time of worship. Worship and resting in Jesus and all of what we do about God is 24/7, 7 days a week. Jesus said, I am the Sabbath. I am your rest. I am the object of your worship. I am the one like that. It was made for you because you are the ones who are supposed to be worshiping me every day, all day, 24/7. We pick days of the week to worship now because, you know, it's just, whatever. But, you know, in the same regard, you know, if you want to, like a lot of people, in the, like the feasts of the Old Testament and the Sabbath day and stuff like that, there's nothing wrong with worshiping on those days and participating in those feasts. But don't think that that saves you. And don't think that that has to be imposed on everybody else. I'm just saying, because we all have our ways of worship. And you know what? Jesus has brought together all of that. All of the law, all of that is represented in what Jesus did for us. And through our love for Him and our worship of Him, be convicted and do what God's telling you to do. If it's to pray like this, pray like this. If it's to get on your face, if it's to dance, if it's to worship on Monday, Sunday, Saturday, whatever, be convinced in your own mind and God will know your heart. Because it's all about the heart. It's all about the new covenant. The old covenant has been fulfilled. He fulfilled it. The requirement is done. Now it's no longer a requirement. Now it's just a matter of our own hearts doing what God has told us to do. And Jesus said, if you're having trouble remembering everything, remember this. All the commandments can be summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbors yourself. If you do these two things, He didn't add anything to that. He didn't add any laws to that. He said, if you do these two things, you'll do the whole law. And if we do those two things, it won't matter. Because we'll be worshiping every day of the week. We'll be oozing God. We will be worshiping in spirit and truth. He says, one day, you know, it won't be worshiping on this mountain. You'll be worshiping in spirit and in truth. Meaning, it's going to be your lifestyle. It's going to be a way of life. It's not going to be a day of the week, a month of the year, a festival, or all that stuff, even though it's all wonderful and appointed to Christ. That's exactly what he said. It all pointed towards me. But do you understand that the Old Testament, it's instructive to us. It says it's good for us. It teaches us, but it points us to Christ, all of it. And when Christ would come, we would understand what it was all these symbolic things meant. And it all comes together in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Go to Ephesians, in Christ. Go to Galatians. Paul says, I think I'm labored over you. You guys are observing months and days and years and all these things. And you're going back into the Old Testament way of worship. And that's not it. Jesus is our object of our worship. And it's a 24/7 lifestyle. And you just come with your love. And you come with your obedience. And you come with your spontaneity and honesty and humility and purity. But you want to go back and think that you can jump through hoops high enough to impress God. It was all good, but it was all a reflection of what was to come. Just as what we're doing now is a reflection of what is to come. Well, what's heaven going to be like? Like it was with Eden when Adam and Eve first came? It's not going to be a spooky place. You're not going to be playing a guitar up on some cloud somewhere. Well, maybe you will. I don't know. But just as we were created in the image of God, so the earth was created in the image of heaven. God placed us in an environment which where we could thrive. And what did he say? He's going to recreate the world. The world's going to burn up. He's going to recreate this world. What's heaven going to be like? Well, you're standing on it in a pure form, in a refashioned form, in a perfect world where there's no sin, no more devil ever, ever again. No more tears. You want to know what heaven's going to be like? Look at a perfect world or imagine a perfect world. That's what it's going to be like. And it's going to be people that are Jesus's. No more murderers, adulterers, thieves. Yeah. The oil is what we're talking about today. Sweet aroma of pure spiritual worship is symbolic of the divine lubrication, if you will, of the infinite God, Holy Spirit, to take the squeaks and squirms and squawks out of us. What do we use regular oil for, right? Take out the squeaks, right? Well, that's exactly what Holy Spirit does. He comes in and he hears a squeak. I don't like that. You just yelled at your wife and that wasn't very pleasant. It was squeaky in my ear. Let's put a little oil on that. You go. Ask for her forgiveness. I like the squirms. Well, God, I really didn't mean it quite in that manner and such like that. I squirm our way out of situations sometimes, trying to justify our actions. And the Holy Spirit's going, you ain't going anywhere. I know what you're trying to do. You're squirming your way out of what you just got yourself into. You're backing off. Yeah, your wife and kids may not get it, but I got it. And you ain't sleeping until you go and take care of what you just did. They might have missed it. You might have kind of slowly backed out of the light and went down like this. See, the Holy Spirit's good at finding squeaks and squirms and squawks. How many of us squawk about everything, complain about everything, have a negative attitude about everything? Squawk, 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 and Holy Spirit's going, that's not going to get you the blessing. You're just digging your hole deeper. Stop it. I'm here to take the squawking out of you. That's what oil does. Squeaks. Construction workers know that, right, Mel? What's oil do? Lubricates. Takes the squeaks and squawks and squirms. Because otherwise, you know, he goes to sell a house, he builds a house, and it's squeaking and squawking and squirming before you ever get in there. He ain't going to buy it. You're going to make him do what? Get the squeaks and squirms and squawks out. And that's the Holy Spirit's job in you. Get those squeaks and squirks and squawks and whatever. Get them out. That's why we're left alive. So he can do this for us, to purify us, to get us ready for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, for the pavements of gold and the place where there'll be no more tears and a place where we will worship God forevermore. Hallelujah. Folks, the oil is representative, as we said before, of Holy Spirit. And remember, He sanctifies our life so that we can talk like God, we can walk like God, we can act like God, we can think like God, and we can have the aroma of His presence. And the more that we have the oil applied, more of Holy Spirit you apply to your life, the stronger will be the odor of His presence. Did you get that? The more you yield to the Holy Spirit, the stronger your presence will be in any given meeting, in any given place, anywhere, amongst unbelievers, amongst animals, amongst nature, amongst people, no matter where you go. That odor, that fragrance, that anointing oil that lives in you, that's being permeated and perfumed out from you. That's why people will sometimes, when you walk into a room, actually smell this peace, this sense of security, this sense of, I want to be around this person. It's attractive. Why do women put perfume on? To attract us, guys. Right? Why do you wear perfume? Well, to cover the stink, I get it. Right? Now, men do the same thing with cologne. But it's not just to cover the stink, really. It's made to attract. At least that's what the marketers say. It's a love bug. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. And if you allow Him to do that through you, you will become a love bug. It won't be all about doctrine. It won't be all about legalism. It won't be all about having to be right. It'll be about exhibiting the one thing that God is, and God is love. God is light. God is forgiving. God prefers the brethren. God will wash. If He was here, He'd be washing your feet. It's not about walking around with your Bible and saying, you know what, I got it all together, and this is the way it is, and if you don't like it, lump it. You don't want to be around that. I've been that way before. Thinking that everything that I had was right and everybody else was wrong. Boy, if you can't be teachable and if you can't let God just shake you up, make you humble, make you squeak and squirm a little bit so that the Holy Spirit can get in there and correct and rebuke and receive. That's the hard part, receiving. Anyway, I need to finish this up. So how do I do that? The more you've been with Him, the more you smell like Him. The more you've been with Him, the more you will smell like Him, because it's a divine fragrance. It's distinct. Remember, it was exclusively made, not made for anything else. It is a distinct fragrance. That's why the world sees it and hates us. Because to the world, that distinct fragrance convicts them. And they don't want it. Christians want that. We don't get condemned by it because we know whose we are. We get convicted. But the world, they will be condemned by it if they don't come to Christ. That's why when you walk into a room and you're oozing the oil of the Holy Spirit out, right? That sweet smelling aroma is coming out. It's not so sweet to the person who does not know Christ. It cannot be copied or imitated. It cannot be copied or imitated. That's right there in the word for you. You don't buy a cheaper perfume. There's only one way to the Father, that's through the Son. There's only one Holy Spirit who can do the work through you that can't be done by any other means. Can't buy cheaper perfume. It cost Jesus His earthly life. Everything. His earthly life. He gave it up. Those ladies, throughout when He was alive, when they poured that perfume on His feet What did he say? They're preparing me for burial. This anointing, this Holy Spirit. He knew that there would be a time he'd be separated from the Father for a moment, when the Father had to do this so that the sins of the world could be taken on by our Savior. He knew he needed that strength. He said, Father, if at all possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. When he was a man, he was functioning under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And that oil being poured on, it was like, yeah, that's who I am. She's doing only what is right to be done. She's preparing me for burial. Yes, I'm anointed. Yes, I have the Father in me. Yes, I've done his work. I've been obedient unto death. But it's costly. And Jesus is probably sitting there, you don't even know half the meaning behind what costly really means. There isn't enough perfume, cost you $1 billion, that can cover what I'm about to do for you. And he anointed his body as well, with the fragrance, with the presence, with the protection of Daddy. Because Daddy promised him, if you do this, I'm going to bring you home and I'm going to hand everything over to you. And Jesus did it. Hallelujah. Oh, man. His life was a sweet-smelling savor to the Father, folks. You can bet on it. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But Jesus' life, listen, his life was a sweet-smelling savor to the Father, and we can be too. Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. That's talking to you. Walk in love. Just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us. An offering and a sacrifice. That's what you have to become. An offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. See, you offer yourself, you sacrifice, you make him Lord, you do what he says and not what you want to do. You become a fragrant aroma unto God, just as Jesus only did what the Father told him to do. Become like Jesus. That's a book I know you read. It's awesome. Be like Jesus. Follow me. Take my yoke upon you. Take my ministry upon you. I'm going to be with the Father. Now you, church, go out and do what I did. You're not going to be left alone. I'm going to give you all the help you need. I'm going to anoint you with oil of the Holy Spirit. My nature, my character will live in you. Back off. Let him go forward. It's possible. All things possible with God. 1 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The anointing, being set apart. We don't have the mind of the world anymore. We have the one inside of us that can bring revelation and understanding and knowledge that comes from above. Folks, if we stay out of the presence of God very long, we're going to smell like flesh. You don't stay in the presence of God. You don't get together and come to church. You don't get together with the brethren. You don't come to meetings. You don't get into accountability groups. You don't get to sing songs with each other. You don't spend your life amidst, you know, the people of God. I'm telling you, you're going to start to smell like flesh. There are those that are specifically anointed to go on the mission field where they're around a lot of unsaved people all the time and stuff like that. But I'll tell you right now, they surround themselves with a close group of people who they have to be refreshed by. Even Jesus himself had to go up on top of the mountain and get refreshed by his Father in order to go out and minister to those multitudes. And he said he did it often. You need the brethren. Or you'll start smelling like flesh. Wherever you go, you will leave a fragrance. I'm telling you. I don't know where you are right now, but wherever you go, you're leaving a fragrance. And what will it be? The anointing oil or flesh? It's your choice as you yield to the Holy Spirit. Will we live a life of spontaneity, just like Jesus? I mean, you know, you could just read the book and know that Jesus, he was just going around and just, Father would say, go here, and he'd go there, and he'd be interrupted here and minister, and he'd go over here, and the disciples say, we have no food. He said, okay, well, we'll do something here. And spontaneity. Why can you be spontaneous? Because God's going to go with you wherever you go and whatever you want to do. He's going to give you even your own path to take sometimes, because why? He knows you're obedient unto death. He knows that he's got all of you. So, you know, some of the things that you want to do, he's going to go, let him go do it, because he's just going to represent me anyway and glorify me in whatever they do. Don't box God in. There's only one thing I'm going to be able to do in life, and that's it. God, you're free. Spread yourself out. Let God use you in varieties of ways. But just listen, when he tells you to turn, you better turn. We will be honest because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Honesty will characterize you. We're almost there. We will be humble because humility characterizes the life of Jesus. And humility or gentleness is a fruit of Holy Spirit, the anointing. Philippians 2, 5 to 8, everybody knows this one, I think. Have this attitude yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself. What did we say that was last week? Kenosis. He emptied himself. He voluntarily emptied himself to become like one of us, to show us the way, the truth, and the life, to show us how to be pleasing to the Father, to show us the nature and character of the Father, to show us how to live our lives, to be an example of those to come. And then he sent the Holy Spirit, and he wrote it down in his word so we would follow it, because he is now at the right hand of the Father, and because the next time he comes, he ain't coming the way he came the first time. He's coming to separate the wheat from the chaff. But the first time, he gave us the instructions to follow till he comes. And he emptied himself. He took the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, found an appearance as a man. What did he do? What we should do. Humble himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. That's what we should be doing. Even death on a cross. Well, maybe ours won't be on a cross. But if we pick up our cross and follow him, really, we'll die by the cross. We'll die by his principles. We'll die by the truth of God's word. We'll die in Christ. And praise God, because when we die in Christ, we'll be immediately into the presence. The literal presence. And we pray for his presence manifest even here now, as the word is being stirred in your own heart. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Folks, how do you know we're disciples of Jesus Christ? Because we see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control at work. Because against things like that, when we operate in them, there's no law that can condemn us. Nothing. We're operating in the fruit of Holy Spirit. We don't need all the laws to follow. The love of God is what leads us, protects us, keeps us, makes us who we are. And we allow the Holy Spirit to purify us as we worship. This is where we tie it in, folks. We must allow Holy Spirit to purify us as we worship, as we go through life, as we exemplify the nature and character of God, as we yield to His, see what I'm saying? As we yield to the Holy Spirit, our worship becomes purer and purer and purer and affects more and more and more. And so when we're doing that and then we come together corporately to worship God, it's just a Holy Ghost party that is glorifying God. And it automatically becomes charismatic, because that word just means Holy Spirit. And if you're a Pentecost and you say Pentecostal, it just means they took the name from Pentecost when the Holy Spirit just went crazy over thousands of people who got saved. So all those that knock the Pentecostals, they got their hang-ups, and so do the charismatics, so do we, so does everybody. We all, and no matter where we go, you know, it doesn't matter where or when you worship or what church you're in or whatever, stuff like that, we all got things that we need to work on. Right? So let's just quit pointing the finger of, well, that's how you worship, or that's where you worship, or that's what day you're worshiping on, stuff like that. Let's just stop all that and love God and purify ourselves and unto death hear his voice and do the work of the ministry. And then we wouldn't have all these problems of theology and doctrine and all the other stuff. Because the Holy Spirit will lay it down, and he'll always be in agreement with God the Father and Jesus. Listen, purify so that we can worship, because that's what our Savior deserves, because He's pure. Last scripture, 1 John. And this time it is the last scripture. 1 John 3, 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are the children of God. Hallelujah. That's a statement right there to take in. Now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. That perfection has not come quite yet. But we know that when He appears, Jesus, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. Wow. So the next time that you're anointed with oil, think of what this represents as it is rubbed into you physically and spiritually. You are being set apart as a true worshiper of Christ, called to glorify Him in your talk, your walk, and your work. May God pour the oil of His presence over every one of us as we worship Him today, right now, in spirit and in truth, and every day from this time forward into eternity. May Christ be lifted higher in our worship this morning and in your life.